WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Hiring blew past expectations last month. The Labor Department says employers added 254,000 positions compared to 142,000 in August. CBS's Jill Schlesinger.
This report gives the Federal Reserve a little bit more time to start lowering interest rates.
Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg cheering on East and Gulf Coast dock workers who've ended a 3-day strike. He tells CBS News Radio.
Really glad to see that this was addressed, that the ports are back up and running. We're going to be working with the ports on making sure that's a smooth process, but also really glad to see these workers getting much deserved wage raises.
Iran's Ayatollah Khamenei defiant in a rare public appearance over the October 7th attack and Iran's missile strike on Israel.
We should fasten the seatbelt of resistance. From Iran to Afghanistan, from Gaza to Lebanon, in every Islamic country.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A former guard at the Waupun State Prison is pleading no contest to reduce charges in the deaths of two inmates last winter. Sarah Ransbottom did not do cell checks in February like she was supposed to. 9 Waupun staffers, including the former warden, are charged. Ripon is the birthplace of the Republican Party. It's also where Democrat Kamala Harris accepted former GOP Congresswoman Liz Cheney's endorsement yesterday.
We may not see eye to eye on every issue, and we are going to get back to a healthy two-party system. I am sure of that.
Cheney explained why she's voting for a Democrat for the first time in her life.
Donald Trump is not fit to lead this good and great nation.
Trump campaigns in Juneau Sunday. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. State Representative Clint Moses joined members of a statewide solar power coalition group on Thursday to push for energy reform. During a tour of a solar farm in Chippewa Falls, Representative Moses spoke with members of the group about proposed reforms to give more power to third parties who use renewable energy by making it more accessible. Officials with the group argue that allowing people to choose their power provider will lower costs. A reform bill with bipartisan support will be considered in the coming months. Xcel Energy has announced they will send some Western Wisconsin workers to the southeast to assist with the Hurricane Helene recovery. According to a press release, about 15 line workers from places like Eau Claire, Menominee, Hudson, and Rice Lake are expected to work in parts of Augusta, Georgia to restore power to the area. In total, Xcel Energy is sending over 100 workers from various states to Georgia, including line workers, safety consultants, and fleet mechanics. The crews are expected to stay for 2 weeks. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
Heartbreak in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Brewers went into the ninth inning with a lead yesterday, but a 3-run home run by Pete Alonso ended Milwaukee's season. Manager Pat Murphy said he is disappointed for his players after a great season.
I feel sad for our guys because they competed like they did, and it was, you know, but it's baseball. When you're facing a team with those type of guys, that's what they're capable of.
Meanwhile, the Green Bay Packers will try to bounce back this week as they play the LA Rams on Sunday after losing last week to the Minnesota Vikings. Head coach Matt LaFleur said Jordan Love will be another week healthier this week after some struggles last week.
You know, I think that's a byproduct of not practicing for a couple weeks. I thought just in our limited practice today, he did a really nice job. It looks like he's just getting back into the groove.
Kickoff this Sunday against the Rams is after 3 p.m. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny today with a high near 70 this afternoon. Tonight, clear with a low in the upper 40s. Tomorrow, sunny, warm, and windy. Upper 70s to near 80 with an isolated afternoon thundershower possible. Then we're back to fall temperatures on Sunday with sunshine and a high in the low to mid 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
She is performing in Wisconsin early next month down in Baraboo. Charo, what is the secret? Is it the music? Is it the dancing? Are your shows what keep you young?
Yes, I will never get old while music is alive.
Yeah.
You got to move it, move it. I have ants in my pants. I had to move.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Old World Wisconsin's Maria Comiskey for some Freaky Friday talk. And it's a bar band Friday night, which means Terry Barr joins us with excellent tunes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8. 93.5 The Tap.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. And I want to welcome Mr. Dan Schaefer to our show, our program this morning. He is with Recombobulation Area, and he's been new to Civic Media now for, I don't know, what, 4 or 5 months?
Only just a little over a month now.
Oh,
time is a flat circle here, Earl. It's so much happening in such a little time. I started the week of the DNC, and it just feels like there's been 4 months of things happening in that time, doesn't it?
Well, tell us a little bit about Dan Schaefer before we've got phone lines lit up. So we'll tell us a little bit about you before we get to those phone lines, those callers.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So, yeah, like you said, I just joined Civic Media as the political editor about a little over a month ago, and joined as also I founded a weekly opinion column and online publication called The Recombobulation Area. Founded that a few years ago while I was a stay-at-home dad. I've also been a journalist in and around Milwaukee for the better part of the last 15 years at places like Milwaukee Magazine, Milwaukee Business Journal, and elsewhere. I've been writing this opinion column at the Recombobulation Area for almost 5 years now. Happy to have it now as part of Civic Media. A lifelong Wisconsinite. Grew up in Waukesha County, went to college at UW Oshkosh. I've got a lot of opinions on this wonderful state of ours.
So let me tell you what we've been talking about. We've been talking about the fact that the conversation is that Kamala Harris, and they mentioned Kamala Harris as if she unilaterally has the power to give out FEMA dollars. She only gave out $750 to people who need it the most, and so Republicans are blaming this on her. And so I've been pointing out that Republicans have, over the last 4 years, underfunded FEMA. Project 2025 is looking to privatize FEMA. And so the fact that, you know, you can, and even this past week, Republicans, including Rick Scott and others in Florida, chose not to hang around and make a decision to help those people in their own hometowns. They were too busy. They got out before the votes were cast. So we've got people on the phone line who've been weighing in. You're certainly welcome, Dan, to weigh in along with them and to respond. So let's go to Tom from L.A. He's been hanging on the longest. Tom, good morning to you. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. First off, these people need to understand that all spending bills go in one place, and that's the House of Representatives. We do not have the House of Representatives now. That is the Republican Party. Most people don't know that the House of Representatives is where spending bills actually occur. Yes, we have the Senate, but we have the House, and the Senate, which make up Congress. I think what they're really, really hoping is that the American people are so stupid that they think there's only one branch of government, and that's the president. And I think these Trumpers are getting people ready for one branch of government. We have three branches of government, and we better start realizing that. Also, when it comes to the vice president does not have the power that the president does. So I don't know what they're talking about. And Gary, who's talking about it being Joe Biden's fault, again, it's got to go through Congress. It has to go to the House of Representatives. We have three branches of government. They're supposed to be co-equal branches of government. And we better learn our civics, and we better learn it fast. Because if we just think that there's one branch of government, Donald Trump will have a blast in terms of going after all the people and saying he's a king. That is not the way the United States is supposed to work. This is between democracy and an authoritarian dictatorship.
Hey, Tom.
2025.
Thank you very much for, you know, the truth. You want to respond to that, Dan?
Yeah, I think that's a great point, and just showing how, you know, the separation of powers is an important one. And I think, you know, if you talk about that in the context of the House, that could be an argument that Democrats could be making to try to win back the House right now. And some of these key races, there's a few of them, you know, in and around Wisconsin that we'd be watching in this fall's election, too. But I think, you know, just a larger point that I always tend to notice when Republicans will politicize the response to these disasters is that, you know, so often Republicans will say, hey, why don't we have this type of funding for Americans? Why are we sending it overseas? Why are we doing this and that? Well, so often when these funding bills come up before Republicans, they're the ones voting against it. And so it's like a situation where like, well, we don't want this money going overseas. Okay, let's, you know, Democrats often will say, let's spend some money here. Let's improve healthcare. Let's improve our emergency response. Let's fund these types of government programs. But nope, Republicans always want to cut back on government, less government. And that means less quality and less of, you know, less funding in these types of moments when we could otherwise be, you know, having a more robust federal response.
All right, let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Good morning, Earl and Dan. I hope Dan takes my calls when I call him, because Earl's one of the few that will. You know, we listened for 3 years to the border czar, VP Harris and Mayorkas, tell us the border was secure. They wonder why FEMA doesn't have any money, because they've taken $620 billion and given it for illegal aliens that are here because they changed, executive ordered, allowed them into the country.
Hey CJ, can you back that up with facts?
Look it up. Congressional Budget Office says, well, it's easy, Earl. The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office says it costs $10,000 per year per illegal to have them in this country for our schools, the hospitals, and social. That's the Congressional Budget Office. That's a fact. So if you're wondering where FEMA's money went, you can look right at VP Border Czar Harris, and you can look at President Biden, and you can look at do-nothing Mayorkas.
Hey, CJ, did you hear anything that I said and just read about, you know, Rick Scott and others in the last 4 years, Republicans voting no towards increasing FEMA funds? Do you know about that? Oh, okay, he's gone. You want to respond to any of that, Dan?
Well, you ask him one question and he's not able to respond. It's a little bit telling there, isn't it? I mean, you know, there's so much fear-mongering and nonsense going on among the Republican Party, tying every last issue back to the border, back to, you know, quote-unquote illegal immigration, that it, you know, it's just so overstated in so many senses. And I think you're right to point out that, you know, we've had opportunities to better fund these programs, and the people voting against it are so often Republicans.
All right, let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. You say what?
Thank you. I'm so glad you took my call. You know, they broke two things real quick. Number one is they broke it. Donald Trump vetoed updated immigration bill in 2017. Somehow that escapes today's news, much less the one that they turned their back on last year. So again, they broke it. What happens when low information people begin to settle in their low information world? It creates bad attitudes. It creates poor decisions. And when we have a party that's turned into grievance only prevails, GOP, to where all they do is complain, they don't fix anything. There's not a MAGA representative that came in there to build and sustain a good, strong government. Every single one of them had an agenda to tear the government down, to get rid of the administrative state. What else is going to happen when you put anti-government people in a position in government? It's not going to work. It's just, I don't know, elementary. The last thing I want to talk about real quick is, they've been, the right-wingers have been pushing against climate change and denials for years, even though the research clearly shows ExxonMobil being aware of the downside risks in the late 70s and others. Every decade, there is more information available, most of it concealed out of the public view. And so then here we are. We see these anomalies, what used to be anomalies, happening on a regular basis. We're seeing catastrophic storms like we've never seen before. And then the first thing the grievance only prevails party does is point fingers instead of getting to work to do the job that they're elected to do. So my final point here is, if you put people that don't believe in making a more perfect union, don't believe in the whole thought and concept of the U.S. Constitution, if they're sworn enemies and they want to shrink the government so small that you can drown it in the bathtub, what else is going to happen?
Hey, Mike, thank you very much for the call. You want to respond to that, Dan?
Yeah, one of the stories that jumped out to me yesterday as people were kind of talking about, various federal responses to disasters, there was a story out of Politico reported that former President Donald Trump was, of course, criticizing the Biden administration for its handling of the disaster. But I'm going to quote from the story here. A review of Trump's record by Politico and interviews with two former Trump White House officials show that the former president was flagrantly partisan at times in response to disasters. And he even asked members of his staff what the voting results were in certain precincts in California when there were wildfires, and decided based on that whether to dole out federal funds for the response. And so that's the type of response that we see from Republicans on this. It is nakedly partisan. That's just not how the way things should be.
All right, guys, hang on. We'll be coming right to you. My guest is Mr. Dan Schaefer. He is with Recombobulation Area. And you'll be hearing more and more of him in the coming weeks and months and years. 855-752-4842. You're tuned into a Friday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. Hang on. Be right with you.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
I'm proud to be voting for Kamala Harris and Tammy Baldwin.
Across Wisconsin, people are standing up for Vice President Kamala Harris and Senator Tammy Baldwin because they stand up for us, taking on the big drug companies, lowering the cost of insulin and prescription drugs. They've even cracked down on greedy corporations to put an end to price gouging and surprise medical billing, and made sure no insurance company can deny you coverage for having a pre-existing condition.
Kamala Harris and Tammy Baldwin are fighting for people like me
and all of my friends and everybody else I know.
Now, extremist politicians are trying to take away our basic freedoms. But Kamala Harris and Tammy Baldwin are fighting back, protecting our freedom to choose and our right to vote.
A lot of people fought and died for these rights. My parents, my grandparents.
There's too much at stake here. We have to get out and vote.
I am going to vote for Kamala Harris and Tammy Baldwin. They are fighting for me.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Farmers in Wisconsin have always been ahead of the times, and it's no different in the mid-1800s. George Esterly was running a large wheat farm outside of Whitewater, but reaping his crop by hand was back-breaking work. Esterly invented a mechanical harvesting machine and used it in his own fields in 1844. He then won a Chicago Mechanics Gold Medal 4 years later. But was he the first in the country to build a harvesting machine? The answer is coming up. Esterly followed up his win by opening a factory in the Whitewater area, building the harvesting machines and eventually other farm equipment too. By the 1880s, 500 people worked there. So was Esterly the first in the country to build a new mechanical harvesting machine? Yes. This man's early farm invention lives on as a remarkable slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. My guest is Mr. Dan Schaefer. He is with Recombobulation Area, and he'll be joining us from time to time. Let's go to David from Mequon. Good morning to you, David. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Mr. Schaefer. Really quickly, in regards with FEMA, I will just say this. If you remember, it seems like we haven't learned from the past at all in regards with disasters whatsoever. And why do I say that? If you go back to George Bush, remember when he said, good job, Brownie? Do you remember that?
Yeah,
and I guess I would. Okay, good. So in this situation with FEMA, unfortunately, and Mr. Schaefer said, well, you know, with the funding and what have you, unfortunately, a lot of our money, though, has gone to with the migrant situation at the southern border, which has strained resources between states and federal. And how do we know this? If you look at the amount of money that before now the current mayor of New York City got indicted. He was requesting billions of additional dollars from the federal government because of all the additional people that are in New York City. Same thing in Chicago, same thing in, you know, California. And so when you have this and you have this situation, it does have an impact. We see what's happening right now. There's just not enough manpower to actually tackle this because there's so many other things that we're dealing with prior to this.
Hey, David, so, are you aware of the voting, direction that Republicans have gone in over the last four budget cycles when it comes to FEMA?
Yeah, so keep in mind, the Democrats had the House the first 2 years during the Biden administration. So Republicans, even though they may have tried to do whatever, the Democrats still had the purse strings, if you want to call it that. Last couple budget cycles, yes, the Republicans have had control of that. And what they've tried to do is make sure that the allocation for that is really towards for disasters, and not, it's being used for other purposes right now, not for disasters. It's being used for the border, which it shouldn't be happening. And if you notice, Biden did reverse by executive order, I think it was September 1, with people claiming asylum into the United States, where they would get deported immediately. They wouldn't have any ability of staying here, and we would not have to worry about housing them and feeding them and all that other stuff. And that just recently happened, and he went right back to the old playbook of what was in previously in place when he became president. So
David, hang on a second. Dan, you want to respond to any of that?
Yeah, I think the issue for part of this is that I think people are conflating different things about this disaster response. There are, of course, the Department of Homeland Security is charged with dealing with issues happening at the border, of course. But that doesn't preclude them from, preclude lawmakers from adequately funding FEMA and adequately funding disaster response either. You know, it's not just, it's not a zero-sum game here. We can manage the situation at the border, and we can provide disaster response. It's not an either or scenario here.
Well, I disagree. If that's the case, we should be able to handle it, but you're blaming it on the fact that there's just not enough money. I think there's more than enough money. I think we should be looking into, where is the money going to? How is that money being spent? And I don't think it's being utilized, efficiently. That's just my opinion, because you said yourself, okay, well, they should be able to handle this. Well, obviously they are not able to handle it. So again, I guess my point to you, Mr. Schaefer, would be this: how is this money being spent? You just keep saying, well, you just need more money. I want to know how the current money is being spent. And I think we should all know that, because at the end of the day, it's the American taxpayer that's going to end up having to flip the bill to pay for additional money for whatever it is.
Hey, Dave, thank you very much for the call. You want to respond back to that, Dan?
Yeah, it's we should be able to handle both of these things.
Yes.
And it is the Republicans who have cut funding from this. Plain and simple.
Man, I don't know how you get beyond that, Dan, right? You know, you can add all these other things that Republicans are adding, but at the root of it is the fact that they continue to choose to underfund what is a program that benefits Democrats and Republicans alike. It's not about, you're supporting people who aren't Republicans. I mean, or you're not supporting people who aren't Democrats, man. It's for all Americans. At a time of crises, when they're at their lowest ebb and they need the support that they can get, yes, our government can handle it. Dan, I don't know how people can say we can't with the most powerful nation on earth, with the greatest budget on earth, even though we only make up 4% of the global population. Don't tell me we can't handle it. 855-752-4842. My guest is Dan Schaefer. He is with Recombobulation Area, and I'm happy he's here. You'll be hearing from him time to time on the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed.
keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin school superintendent wants more to be done about cybersecurity. Jill Underley led a roundtable discussion on the topic yesterday. Cyber criminals are targeting school districts in Wisconsin and around the country. The White House says the federal government needs to be part of the solution. Outbreaks of food poisoning can be scary, but there are steps you can take. Jovana Kovacevic is an expert on listeria. She says people should store meat at the right temperature and cook it thoroughly.
Certain foods are higher risk foods, and if you're in that vulnerable group, you want to avoid those foods. We really need to do better to engage consumers.
A recent listeria outbreak linked to deli meat killed 10 people and made 59 other people sick across the country. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. A man who had been reported missing since Sunday was found dead on Wednesday. According to the Chippewa Falls Police Department, officers conducted a welfare check for 45-year-old Matthew Harshman on Tuesday after the person requesting it said they hadn't heard from him since Sunday. On Wednesday, officers found the scene of a motorcycle crash off East Park Avenue in Chippewa Falls and identified the man who had crashed as Harshman. Authorities believe high speeds were a contributing factor in the crash. The University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire's McIntyre Library has been named the Library of the Year by the Wisconsin Library Association. The award is given out for distinguished achievement in service by a library, library system, or library network each year. McIntyre Library staff will accept the award at the organization's annual conference in Green Bay on November 7th. Chancellor James Schmidt praised the library's staff for their commitment to helping students and their incorporation of technology to create an innovative experience. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. Kevin Smith fans have been wondering if there will be a Mallrats sequel for Going on 30 Years. Well, wonder no more. While discussing his new film, The 430 Movie, Smith told the New York Post there will definitely be a Mallrats sequel. The director says he spoke about the sequel with Shannon Doherty before she passed away from cancer. He says Doherty was all on board with the project, and she even told him she would go to the studio with Smith and play the cancer card to get it made if she had to. If you watch any TV at all, you've seen one of Ryan Murphy's shows. His latest is Monsters, about the Menendez brothers on Netflix. His new legal drama is All's Fair. The project took a hit when Halle Berry left, but there is no shortage of actors who want to work. Variety reports that Ed O'Neill will join the cast of the show that follows a divorce attorney at an all-female law firm. The show also stars Naomi Watts, Glenn Close, and Kim Kardashian. O'Neill is best known for his work on Married with Children and Modern Family. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly sunny today with a high near 70 this afternoon. Tonight, clear with a low in the upper 40s. Tomorrow, sunny, warm, and windy. Upper 70s to near 80 with an isolated afternoon thundershower possible. Then we're back to fall temperatures on Sunday with sunshine and a high in the low to mid 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature 44.
The Todd Alba Show.
Will White Schoolhouse behind us, the birthplace of the Republican Party. Executive Director of the Ripon Area Chamber of Commerce, Mandy Kimes.
Whether you love politics or you aren't even interested, there is something here because those ideals and values and lessons and courage can influence us today to be active citizens and to be willing to take a stand. And really, ordinary people in an ordinary place doing extraordinary things.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Big Show, Brady Ewing, former Badger, talking about Badger football. Also the author of Out of the Darkness, the story of Aaron Rodgers, Ian O'Connor. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Thank you.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. We've been talking, for the entirety of the show about FEMA and about the disaster and the fact that Republicans are looking to blame the Biden administration and the Harris administration for not responding, which is just not true, hasn't been true. And it doesn't matter how many times they want to repeat it, it's not true. Listen to the former President Donald Trump yesterday saying that they haven't been here and I'm here. Well, yeah, you can be there, Donald Trump, but what are you doing? You know, it's easy for you to show up. You're not in charge. And so you can't compare the two. FEMA has been there since the inception. The sheer size of this disaster is what's at stake, and the fact that there's less resources available than really needs to be had. Republicans have chosen not to fund FEMA. And David himself, you know, said that, you know, they're concerned about where the money goes. Floridian Republicans in the Senate weren't on board with the bill either. Rick Scott voted no on the bill, while Marco Rubio wasn't present for the vote on Thursday. This is this past Thursday's vote and bill for adding additional funds to FEMA. In interviews later, that he didn't vote for the bill because it contained a bunch of things, Marco Rubio, unrelated to disaster relief like additional funding for Ukraine, low-income heating assistance, and relief for Jackson, Mississippi, which is recovering from a historic water crisis. Despite this, however, the two senators sent a letter to the Senate Appropriations Committee last week asking for a robust and timely federal response to the hurricane. Let's go to Mark from Sussex. Good morning to you, Mark. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Thanks for taking my call. You know, David made two great points, which you guys just glossed right over, because you can't defend the fact that all of the funds that FEMA was getting, a lot of it was going to that illegal border and to the illegal aliens. And now when we do have a disaster, we don't have the funds. And now you want Rick Scott and Republicans to approve more. Yes, I think we should approve more for the East Coast that got buried. But absolutely no more funds should be going to housing and education and all these other things for these illegal immigrants. And your guest, I mean, he glossed right over the fact that, you know, well, we'll just give it more money. That's not the answer.
Well, I'll tell you, Mark, it is the answer. It needs more money. There are people who are struggling financially. They're American citizens. And politics should be damned. It's not about politics now. And so it's not about one-upmanship or gamesmanship, Mark, that Republicans are attempting to do. You know, the people who are struggling right now, man, need support. So you say they don't give them any money. They don't give them any more money. The money has been squandered based on what you say. So let's say that's the case. So what did the people who are struggling now have to do with that, if that is in fact the truth? And I challenge you on that. But so the citizens who are struggling now, who had nothing to do with any of that, we leave them?
Absolutely not, Earl.
Well, you said no more money.
Again, I said we should give money for the East Coast. But you know what Rick Scott and Republicans want to know? Where did all that money from FEMA go? And before we'll allocate more, okay, why did we do this? That was not a disaster. I mean, the border is a disaster because of Kamala Harris, but that is not considered FEMA needed revenue or
hey,
funds.
Mark. You know, the border is a crisis because of Kamala Harris. That's what you said. How long has the border been a crisis, Mark?
The border's been a crisis for a long time. So, but she made it a lot worse.
Oh, okay. Hey, Calvin, you want to respond to him at all? Okay. Mark, thank you very much for the call. I think Brendan will respond to you. Good morning to you, Brendan. You want to respond to Mark at all?
Oh, thanks for tagging me in. Oh, my God. My head's ready to explode. These knuckleheads out there buying into all the projection from the Republican Party. You people are all foolish. You need to get educated. It's such a small fraction of what FEMA spends. And, hey, all you Republicans out there, you counting all the dollars that all these migrants are putting into our tax funds, and they're not getting anything from it because they can't file for tax returns. Employers have to take taxes out. What about all the American companies out there that hire these people as cheap labor and then pay them under the table? Is anybody going after them? What about Springfield, where the factory boss said, I'm tired of hiring American citizens who are drug-addled, can't make it to work. I hire these people. They show up. They work. They finish their quotas for the day before they leave, and they don't give us any problems. You know what I see? I see a lot of entitled Americans sitting around biatching about their problems and trying to blame it on somebody else. And that's all there is to it. The other thing is funny how when Daggett over there, Trump's buddy at the pier, the video came out of him threatening American citizens with this strike. And the next day, and a picture of him and Trump together down at Mar-a-Lago. What do you know? The next day, the strike is over. They're going to try to settle the contract. Isn't it amazing how things work? And if you all want to ignore the obvious, that's fine. But you're just doing that. You're ignoring the obvious because you need someone to blame for all your problems. These people come in here. They work. They just want a chance to make a living. A lot of them send money home to their families. You know, and you're all willing. If all you had companies, you'd be hiring them as cheaper labor, and then you'd be complaining about them on Earl's show. So hey, give it a rest.
Hey, Brendan, glad you got it off your chest. All right, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Gene from Eau Claire. Good morning to you, Gene. You say what?
That was outstanding.
Yeah, it was.
Sure, that was great thing I've heard. Good job. You know, as a voter in this next election, it is your responsibility, everybody, to read Project 2025. In addition to this, with all the spewing and all the blaming going on, you need to look at or hear from people actually reading these documents, the 165-page document regarding the pending case against Donald J. Trump, and read about the unnamed co-conspirators, folks, because this is real. You need to wake up. The hurricane issue, I watched live all of our representatives. Those Republicans vote against anything to help people like us. So start watching, too, guys, because I've watched for years, and I've watched them live. Those people don't give one iota about you. They care about the people that are giving them money so they can stay in power. And your vote counts. Please, please look at these things. Thank you very much. You guys have a great weekend.
Hey, Gene, thank you very much for the call. You know, here's the essence of what we're talking about. And the fact that this horrific crisis has occurred and more coming because we're just in the beginning of the hurricane season. And FEMA is out of funds, or will be out of funds. You know, to sit back and say they've given all of it to the border and given all of it to immigrants is just not true. And so it doesn't matter how many times Republicans say that. It does not matter how many times they repeat that. That's not going to fix the issue. The issue is, they know that hurricanes are coming, and they know that the American people are in the eye of those hurricanes. Let's do this. Let's go to Al from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Al. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. You remember a couple months ago I called you, and I was driving, and I listened to a station. I listened to your station after you were off the air, And I told you that the people running that show played a tape of George Bush, the father, when he was in office complaining about the problems of the border when he was the president. How many presidents have there been since then? And if there was a problem then, why is it still a problem now? The other part of this is the fact that there's fault that needs to be put on the people who live along the East Coast, knowing that every year we have a hurricane season, and if they live in the path of the hurricane, they know there's going to be damage and whatever, and they take they should be taking as much blame for trying to live there, knowing that this is going to happen year after year after year. When I was in the military, I was stationed at two bases in Tornado Alley between South Dakota and Texas. I used to sit there and watch tornadoes bounce up and down. You see 10 or 12 of them a day. I would never choose to live in that part of the country knowing that this could happen to me, because then I would have to either possibly get killed or possibly lose everything that I've worked for right. All my life. It doesn't make sense. But blaming the politicians, whether they're not at fault. The fault is the fact that we have an agency of our government that can't do the job because you got idiots in office. Understand, when you run for office, your job is to represent the people, not you and not the government. And all these people we have in office, they're not representing the people of the United States. They're representing the dollar bill.
Hey, Al, thank you very much for the call. You know, it's when you know, whether the people should be there or not, the people in Georgia, North Carolina, who were impacted, South Carolina, who were impacted by this hurricane and the remnants of it. And those people don't live in those alleys. And the, my bottom line is, you know, right now these people are up against it and they need support and they should be getting it from the government. There's nowhere else to turn. 855-752-4842. If we can help the rest of the world, we surely can help the American citizens.
Listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Vice President Kamala Harris.
I get it. The cost of rent, groceries, and utilities is too high. So here's what we're going to do about it. We will lower housing costs by building more homes and crack down on landlords who are charging too much. We will lower your food and grocery bills by going after price gougers who are keeping the cost of everyday goods too high.
Kamala Harris's economic plan is focused on lowering costs for families so you can keep more of your paycheck. That starts with the cost of housing. For first-time homebuyers, she's offering $25,000 in down payment assistance. To build wealth, her plan offers up to $50,000 in new startup tax deductions. This is exactly how we can build generational wealth and strengthen our community so we can get the chance to do more than just get by, but to get ahead.
You work hard for your paycheck. You should get to keep more of it. As president, I'll make that my top priority.
I'm Kamala Harris, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Harris for President.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer
or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596 or visit www.kwwf.org. That's 800-506-5596 or visit www.kwwf.org.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on air.
All right, welcome back. What I can't believe is the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show for this week. You know, we've carried this conversation on for the bulk of the show, and I think it's really that important because from now through the rest of the month, you are going to be seeing, you know, these views from Republicans, and they're going to be showing these poor people and their struggle and their suffering, and they're going to say, see, Kamala Harris did that. See, Joe Biden is responsible for that. See, that's why you need to vote for Donald Trump. You know, and Donald Trump is going to stand there and say, hey, this would have never happened if I was president. Oh, really? Because he's so quick to say things that won't or wouldn't have happened. So I'm sure he'll say this. He's going to say it before, you know, next week. This wouldn't have happened if I was president of the United States, as if he somehow could summon from the heavens for this to not take place. Let's go to Tom from West Dallas. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. I just want to point out that we really need to get a unified voice in the Democratic Party condemning these lies. I mean, back in 2017, which people need to bring up, Governor Cooper of North Carolina asked for a $900 million request for disaster relief fund, and Trump only gave him $6.1 million. Trump throws paper towels at people. Trump let California burn because he doesn't like those people. So if you're not on board with Trump, you're screwed, is basically what happens with Trump. And we need, even like with Mandela Barnes, he should have been harping on Johnson's ridiculous things that he was saying out there to let the public know that that guy's an idiot too. We really need to point out these things to the public, debunking all these claims. Down in Florida, they really need whoever the guy is running against Rick Scott. That needs to become a big advertising blitz.
Yes.
Rick Scott refused to give you your money to save you. All these Republicans who are right now, we're coming up to an election. This is a perfect, perfect advertising blitz for all of these Democrats down in these states that got wiped out to say these people did not vote in your interest. You are suffering now because of him, not us.
Tom, couldn't have said it better. Rick Scott is in a fight for his life as we speak. Good chance he may lose his race. He's certainly deserving of losing it, but thanks for pointing that out. Let's go to Charles from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Charles. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Hey, good morning, Earl. Great topic this morning. I also just wanted to bring up a point like the last caller. Not only did he hold up most of the funds in North Carolina, the hurricane that hit Puerto Rico.
Oh, yeah.
In 18, he didn't release the funds for those for Puerto Rico until 21, close to the election. So I don't understand these people when they keep trying to say, well, Donald Trump would be great. He'll fix it all. Yeah, he held up funds for 3 years. For Puerto Rico.
Which is, United States. Those are United States citizens.
And these things are facts. If people would just open up their eyes and do a little more listening, a little more reading, they'd find out that Republicans hold up funding to a lot of things, even even police departments, when they always try to claim that Democrats are against police. No, it's not that. If they would look up stuff, they would see that Republicans hold up funding for a lot of things that Democrats try to get through.
No problem, Charles. Thank you very much for the call. I'll tell all of you as this weekend approaches and you watch what Republicans are going to be saying, not just the elected officials, those in the media. As I was listening to them this morning as I came in on radio talk shows, and on televisions, they're all going to speak with the same voice, not the same hymnal. And they're going to blame Kamala Harris, which is what got me on this. You know, Donald Trump Jr., of all people, you know, blaming Kamala Harris, his daddy blaming Kamala Harris. And then we got some people clearly in this listening audience who bought into that. And they were doing the same. But there's a major difference between truth and fiction. And some of us can't figure it out. All right. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank everybody who made the week go. Can't do it without you. And thank you, Calvin. Up next, Jane Madner and Greg Bott. Madner on air. Enjoy this wonderful weekend. See you guys on Monday.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning on Up North News Radio, the very latest on a close congressional race between Becca Cook and constantly caustic Congressman Derek Van Orden.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
She is performing in Wisconsin. Charo, you might want to end up moving here because you're going to have that great of a time in Baraboo. Let me just ask you this. Do you like cheese?
I love the cheese. I'm going to be eating cheese for 24 hours. It's a great... No, really. You have a great reputation with the cheese. Wisconsin cheese is very, very famous.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.